Well, we're currently looking at Judeo-Christianity, and in particular, we're studying the conflicts in Scripture between the teachings of Christ, or Christianity, and the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, or Judaism. We're doing so to show the striking differences between them, and that there can be no such thing, as Judeo-Christianity. So, the next conflict between Christianity and Judaism appears when Jesus had a discussion with these practitioners of Judaism on the subject of the law. The oral law, that is, or the traditions of the elders versus the law of God. But before continuing, we need to remember that the thing that distinguished the Pharisees from Christianity was their preoccupation with their law, in contrast to the written law of Moses and the prophets. Their oral law was referred to as the traditions of the elders, which Christ called the traditions of men. And again, the law of the land was not the writings of Moses or the prophets at the time of the Christ. The law of the land was the tradition of the elders. Josephus also tells us that it was this obsession with the oral law, that is, the regulations handed down by former generations and not recorded by the laws of Moses, that constituted the breach between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And likewise, it also caused a breach between Christ and both of these sects of Judaism. Now, Zondervan's Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible also tells us that the conflicts Christ had with the Pharisees was because of their obsession with the oral law. Let me read this to you. It's Zondervan's Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible, volume 5, page 793. It says there, Phariseeism and Rabbinic Judaism were both founded on the mass of tradition. This dead weight of orthodoxy was often rejected by Christ in his interchanges with his questioners. So with that in mind, let's just look at one of the conflicts between Christ and the Pharisees over this oral law pertaining to the washing of hands. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, we're going to look at verses 1, 2, 3, 11, and verse 20. Let's first of all read them. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Now we're going down to verse 11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. This defileth a man. Verse 20. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now, we're just going to look at verses 1, 2, and 3 today. We'll come to verses 11 and verse 20 in a later broadcast. Now, this charge here is leveled at Jesus Christ. It doesn't ask the disciples why they're not washing their hands. They're asking Christ why his disciples are not washing their hands. See, so again, the charge is leveled at Christ, not the apostles, because they're the ones that were apparently in violation of the traditions of the elders, that is, the oral law. But in addressing this question to Christ, it is implied that he was being criticized as their leader for allowing them to violate the tradition of the elders. And once again, that would be the oral law or Judaism. It was not found in the Word of God. The tradition of the Pharisees was to wash their hands. Now, this was quite an elaborate ceremony. They did so up to their elbow before eating in some elaborate ceremony. They had to hold their hand up, and they poured water over their hand down over their elbows, and it dripped off. And then they had to put their hand down, and they poured water over their elbow, and it would drip down over their fingers. It was quite a ceremony. Now, we would all agree that washing our hands before eating is certainly a healthy custom. But there was no such requirement for such an elaborate ritual in the laws of God. In addition, this is just another one of the many traditions which the Pharisees held the people to. In other words, the not washing of hands with this elaborate ceremony was considered a sinning against God. Now, this comes out of Jewish writings. I'll read this to you. The Jewish doctrine pertaining to the washing of the hands is as follows. If a man neglect the washing, he shall be eradicated from this world. Now, that's pretty strong, wouldn't you say? Now, again, all of us would certainly advocate the washing of hands before eating, but not to the extent of eradicating someone from the world or excommunicating them from the temple, whichever is meant here. The traditions of Judaism stated that anything they touched with unwashed hands would be defiled to them. Now, the Pharisees not only practiced this themselves, but imposed it upon others and made it a sin against God if they did not complete this washing ceremony. Now, I'd like to quote a rabbi. His name is Yossi, J-O-S-E-S. I don't know how it's pronounced. But he stated that to eat with unwashed hands is as great a sin as adultery. But yet adultery is found in the Bible, but not this ceremony of unwashed hands. So ingrained were they in this tradition that they would not even eat with anyone who did not wash his hands in the proper manner before they ate. Now, we can't kid ourselves for a minute. Christ understood their oral laws. And since they had accused him of allowing his disciples to violate the traditions of Judaism, Christ counters with an accusation of his own. He accuses them of transgressing the laws of God by their traditions. By that he meant that they had written their own laws, which when followed negated the laws of God. To illustrate this point, Christ said to them, this is Matthew chapter 5. Now we're going to read verses 4, 5, and 7 through 9. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, so now we've heard the word of God, now hear the word of the Pharisees, but ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. Then Christ says, ye hypocrites, well did Elisha prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but with their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So there's a difference between the commandments of men and the commandments of God, and Christ makes that clear here. The law God commanded was to honor thy father and mother. This law included nourishment and shelter in their old age. Now we can scarcely suppose that a man honors his parents who, when they fall weak or blind or sick, does not exert himself to aid them in their hour of need. The words, but ye say, in verse 5, indicates to me that the practice of Judaism being taught by the Pharisees had the effect of denying help or assistance to their parents in a time of need. You see, it was the practice of the Pharisees and some religions today that the highest form of service to dedicate all that you have to the temple or to the church. And when things are so dedicated, it is unlawful to reclaim them for any purpose, and the dedication also supersedes any other obligation or responsibility that they might have had. Thus, when their parents had need, they would cry that they had donated all that they had to spare to the temple. Thus, their parents could expect no support whatsoever from them. So, because of their tradition, the Pharisees could say, we have given to the temple, and thus relieved of our obligation to help our parents in their time of need. And of their traditions, Christ says, In vain do they worship me. So any time violations of the doctrines and commandments of men are placed on an equal footing with the laws of God and considered a sin, then in vain they do worship me. In this case, we see that the traditions of men were preferred above the laws of God and actually negated the laws of God. And I would go just a little further and state that this is blasphemy, even though the scriptures do not say so. Well, I guess we got time to get back to Matthew chapter 15, verses 11 through 20, so let's do so. Let's read it again. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Verse 20. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So what's the point? Well, the point being made by Christ is that if in eating food with unwashed hands a person might take into the mouth some dirt or some other foreign particles, it certainly does not defile the person and make him a sinner. A person may get sick, as a result of eating without washing his hands. But even if he does get sick, as all you've got then is a sick Christian on your hand, you don't have a sinner. Now, we need to keep in mind also, probably, that sin is only defined one place in Scripture. It's called transgression of the law. We find it in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. And it says there, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin," here's the definition, "sin is transgression of the law." Now, when was John writing this? We're looking at 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. When did John write this? He wrote a long time after the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, did he not? So then, if sin is transgression of the law after the death of Christ, then it was obviously sin before the death of Christ, and that means it's sin to this day. Transgression of the law, that's what sin is. You see, when John wrote this, he was not referring to violations of the traditions of Judaism as sin, no siree. He was referring to the transgression of the laws of God.